That is it. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, take control. Holy Spirit, take over. We ask that you would move in this place this morning. We ask that your power will be evident. We ask, oh God, that there will be revelation of your Christ, whom you have given unto us, whom you have sent unto us. Lord, we ask that systems of kingship, rulership, and judgments will begin to come into alignment to the revelation of Christ, and that the power of the living God will be revealed unto them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I want to talk about Christmas from another view. Christmas from another view. When we talk about Christmas, I believe many of us have an idea what Christmas entails. When we talk about Christmas, from this teaching, I'm going to take you on a journey through history and fast forward in our understanding of the story of Christ's birth, the circumstances that surrounded the event of his birth, the Bible presenting us with pictures, drama, vistas, images from the realm of God, which is packaged in the birth of Christ. What are the look-alikes in the days of Christ and our day? And the turnout of events that will be occurring in the future. So in the future, we can say 2017 and beyond. We can say 2018 and beyond. What are some of the events that are going to start taking place? Looking at Jesus' birth. You know, these events that we're going to describe are already happening. But for you and I, immediately we step into the understanding, we begin to see a forceful momentum of those events around us. Because now we have understanding. We really know what is going on. We can see the picture very clear. So Christmas is here again. We will hear all kinds of Christmas carol events. We hear all kinds of songs. Even the Ona Po Jesus. Ona Jesus Po, whatever. Have you heard that song? Jesus one. Hey, now there's Ona Po three versions at least. There's the one for Jesus. Jesus Ona Po. Jesus Ona Po. Oh yes, there is an Onapo version. It was done in Nigeria just when a few days ago they had a Christmas carol in Lagos, or Christmas in Lagos, something they call it. So they were going to hear all kinds of songs being sung, and if you turn on the television in the house, you see all kinds of Christmas programs. You can now see Jesus Chinese. You can see. In fact, this morning I was ironing when I went to the living room. I asked the boy, I said, what are they showing? He said, they have plenty babies. Plenty babies. And I said, what are they doing? They are protecting them. So they pull all the babies to one place. It looks like Herod wants to kill the babies and somebody trying to save the babies, which is a twist in the story, actually. And it's a big twist, which would never give a very clear perspective to my children. If they should pick that understanding and apply it to Bible, they can never understand what really is obtainable in their day and what will happen tomorrow. And if you should also take it as such, it means that whatever happened in the Bible is not true. Okay, so Christmas is here again, and many families are going to gather together. So for many people, it's going to be families coming together and sitting together and having a drink and having a chat. Many people, it's a season in which they want to marry. For many people, it's a season of their favorite recipe. So there's a lot of cooking, right? You see all kinds of rice, the green rice, yellow rice, blue rice, all kinds of
red rice.
You see all kinds of recipes. It's a season of gifts that will exchange hands. And for some friends, if you don't give them a gift, you are finished. You are a bad person. But I'm presenting to you a gift today, which is an understanding of what this Christmas looks like. Yes, all of the sharing of gifts and the recipe are all good and they form part of the event. But there is a bigger aspect of the picture that people are not keeping their focus on. And that is the deception of the enemy to help the church derail it, to help the church move off orbit, to help the church take her eyes off what is the true object of the season. So, all kinds of fireworks are going to fill the atmosphere, like one that we did last night. When we did in the house, everybody ran indoors. My conclusion after the 8 rounds of that fireworks, I said, war is not good at all. Man, if you hear it, you hear it at the first. If you hear it, you'll be scared. I said, this is a knockout, how much more a gun? When the thing went boom, boom, the second time, you can hear, every place went quiet. What is happening? So all kinds of fireworks and its magnitude will fill the atmosphere. A view of Christmas through the set of personal lessons is what we are seeing. So you see people seeing Christmas from their personal view, family view, tradition. People actually travel. This is the time they travel. This is the time they travel. You go to their villages and all kinds of things. This is the time a lot of virgins are going to lose their virginity. This is a time that many will also solidify their grounds of walking in God. Many will also probably be on vacation today because it's Christmas, so vacation trip. I have a friend who usually does vacation in Ghana if he wants to go on vacation, but now I think he's changing small. He would drive across Ghana. He drive here, drive there, sleep here for some 1 week. Sleep here for 2 weeks. He keep driving. Then he will spend 1 month on vacation and then he comes back home. He says when you travel around the country, you really appreciate what is happening. You really love your country. So Christmas is here. Jane, we're talking about Christmas. But who understands Christmas? Just like in the days past, events do happen and everybody will cross his hand and focus on every other thing other than the event that is holding secrets to how life must be lived. The first Christmas. The very first Christmas we want to talk about. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The first Christmas. The first Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. After Jesus was born, in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Do you think the Magis would have come to Jerusalem if this event had not occurred? Something is already happening. A child is born, and events in the realm of the spirit are orchestrated. If you look at Exodus chapter 17, for example, I'm just giving a certain example, which is not about Christmas. If you look at the war going on in the valley, because the Amalekites are the people of the valley, and you see Joshua overtaking the Amalekites with all his troops, and they are killing all these people, you would have looked from your natural lens of sight that, oh, Joshua is fighting and Joshua is winning. But if you look at it from another perspective, you would have seen the hand of the Yam Kadem, who is the hand of God, the ancient one. The ancient one. Yam. Yad is the hand. Yad means hand. Kadem means the ancient one. You would have seen the hand of the ancient one, the one who is before. Kadem means the one who is before, and it also means east. You would have seen the one who dwells in the rising of the sun, the place of the rising of the sun. Actually, Moses sitting and hands raised, and then the war is going on in the valley. you would have actually seen an event of God totally involved in the affairs of men. If you look at it from the other way, that's a Christmas from another view. So when Jesus was born, and Jesus was born in the days of a certain king called Herod. Now the first Christmas celebration was set in motion within a certain political context. I want you to hear me. The first Christmas was set within a political context, the power of kings. It was within a season of kingship. So it's not just about carols night and silence night. Baby was born in a manger. And as a matter of fact, I was reading the Bible and I came across this verse. Just to throw that at you, I came across this verse. And it said that when Jesus was born, there was no room. So they took him to a manger. I wanted to see some of the events. There was no room. We celebrate Christmas, we create rooms for him. Do we create room in our churches? Are we creating room for Christ? We are creating room for Jesus. We are not creating room for Christ. No revelation, no understanding of who Christ is, how life ought to be by Christ. So the first Christmas, the first point is that the first Christmas was celebrated within a political context, was within a certain political context. Now the events within the context of the first Christmas, what are the things that were happening when the first Christmas took place? What are some of the things? And one of them is what I've mentioned. There was no room. There was no room. It means that in your life, there must be room for Christ. There was no room, so they took him to a manger. We reject him. He came into the earth, we reject him. And today, people still reject the Christ. If you read the book of Acts chapter 3, the verse 19 down to 21, it says, "Repent therefore that the times of refreshing will come unto you, that the Christ who has been appointed for you will be sent to you. He must be held up until everything has been restored." He must be held up until restoration of everything. So there must be a renewal of a mindset about what Christmas is all about. Eating, drinking, merrymaking. And then we say that is it. And as a result of the way we have understood Christmas, if people do not have a bag of rice, their Christmas is poor. I was telling my in-law yesterday in the night. He said, "Oh, so Christmas, what have you bought for the kids?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Oh, why?" But he said, "Don't you go anywhere?" I said, "Yes, if there's opportunity, we go somewhere." "No clothes for them?" I said, "No clothes for them." We start buying the clothes from January. We don't need to buy clothes in Christmas. We buy the shoe on an ongoing basis. Why? What is the issue? Because of mindset. So please, your Christmas celebration must change. If you do not have water, if you have only water in your bed and you can fast, and it happens that Christmas you do not have a bag of rice, please relax. Don't create war in the home. Don't create problem. If the children can eat something small and they are fine, drink some. How many things can the children drink? They are okay. They don't even remember that this and that and that and that. We've been brought up with a tradition, and therefore it's destroying our Christmas. So let's look at some of the events. I said the first event is that there was no room. There was no room. If you read, I think, the book of Luke, you will find out that when Jesus was born, no room. No room for him. This is a time we need to be creating room. What are we supposed to be doing? Let me give you another picture that would explain creating room for Christ. If you go into the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says that when Elijah went into the contest, 1 Kings chapter 19, when he went into the contest, you see Christmas message? If you teach this one somewhere, they'll tell you are not proper man of God. Because you are not talking Christmas. You should be talking about Christmas light, Christmas tree. I heard a preacher saying that he turned on his TV and here is somebody standing, a pastor standing in the U.S., You see, I've been talking about a lot of churches in America have a lot of money. So there's a lot of inaccuracies they are spreading around. They can travel anywhere, jump on the plane, carry 20 people, take them, they say they're going to do evangelism. Meanwhile, God did not send you to go and do evangelism on the other side. You yourself, you have not created room. You're not getting it accurate. So you plant, you take a Christmas tree, huge one, you fix so many lights and fruits on it, and you start talking about Christmas tree. You are preaching about Christmas tree. What is the application? So a lot of churches have money, but they don't have room for Christ. Therefore, they spread a lot of inaccuracies and wrong understanding. We want to be a church that is vibrant, that is growing in the things and the purposes of God and true understanding. So there was no room. So Elijah's day, he wanted to create a room so that he could burn this fire, he could burn this sacrifice. So he asked for trenches to be dug. You personally need to begin to dig trenches in your life. Begin to go into your life and dredge, remove certain things, create room for him. If we do not create room for him, he will not come. They will take him to a manger. And magis from the east would travel all the risks. The magis became a sign of complete diligence. I mean, people were diligent. Imagine that the dangers in traveling on their donkey or whatever, or their camel. They came on camels. So imagine camel. And camel can run when camel gets into speed. Imagine them traveling. All the risk of robbers. There were still armed robbers in those days like today. Say, I'm not coming to church because armed robbers will meet me on the way. No. There was no room. Trenches had to be dug. And he said, fill it with water. And water being very symbolic of the word, and the word being Christ. Room must be created. Now, let me read something I copied from a man of God. One of my favorite men of God who actually shifted my understanding. He said, the events of Jesus Christ's birth and clearly... Sorry, the events of Jesus' birth and early years of life were cultured within political intrigue, murderous plot. You remember when Jesus was born, they wanted to kill him. Herod was plotting to kill him. So it was within the context of murderous plot, acts of genocide. You remember they wiped out several children, and here on TV they are preserving children. Which is which? Who is speaking the truth now? God must be true. It says state intelligence was the great activity of the day. Herod sending men, go and find out where he is and let me know so that I can also go and bow down. Pretense. Issues of immigration. The magis were coming. Movements. Even the son, the baby Jesus. In fact, I heard this word yesterday when one of the songs were playing. I said, is it baby Lord Jesus? I said, which is baby Lord Jesus? The guy is Lord, even one baby. You see it right now. The guy is Lord, even born baby. He is born a baby, he's still Lord. If he was not powerful enough, what made Herod trying to get himself confused and plotting? The guy was powerful enough, even baby, powerful enough. Herod was afraid. If you are afraid of a baby, how much more he becomes a matured man? So it was within the issues of immigration, border crossing. So you see the son, the boy Jesus, they carried him, they crossed over into Egypt. You see the magis also crossing over. Great activity of movement. People jumping on plane, flying here. All kinds of partying, all kinds of activity. People going to their villages, having accidents on the way, and all kinds of things. Oh, you know, all kinds of things were happening in those days. And today it is. In the years coming, we're going to see much more of this. And you see visiting delegation of dignitaries, and then there was census and tax decreases of an empire. You see that around the time that they brought the taxes down. Hey, me, when I come into power, I will bring all the taxes. All kinds of things are happening. This is your Christmas. Very early Christmas an early Christmas in Ghana. We started very early. We will bring all the taxes down. We will not do this. We will help this one. We will do this. We will construct this. Now, we must be aware of the actual introduction of the king into the earth. We must be aware. That word used, or that statement made there, we must be aware of the actual introduction. It's not ordinary. It's not just common awareness. We must be able to identify. Because in the midst of these activities, something great and something significant is taking place. We must be aware of the introduction of the king into the earth and the drama which unfolded in a political and social context. So if I say social, how we are related to each other, how families are coming together, how connections are being built. Political, we are seeing elections, we are seeing kings that are coming into force, we are seeing kings that want to actualize their power, we are seeing all kinds of things taking place. We are seeing Donald Trump coming, we are seeing Obama on his way, and we are seeing on his way, we are seeing a vetoing of a vote against Israel and condemning Israel, and we are seeing all kinds of things. We are seeing typhoon hitting, is it Thailand or somewhere, coming again, all kinds of things happening. No food on the table. We are seeing accommodation problems. Jesus had one, and today he still has plenty of accommodation problems in search of a house. Jesus' accommodation problem is already resolved in you and I. And it's resolved in the church that has become the habitation of God in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 22 or so. He has become the church that has become a habitation of God in the Spirit. It means that that is a church that has provided a platform and provided its fiber, its soul, its life. And that thing that is of divine origin, I don't know if you are hearing me, the thing that is of divine origin, the actual king, has found expression among men. It's settled among men. So there is a hearing of the voice of God. There is a seeing of the voice of the voice of God. Yes, you can see the voice of God because he was walking in the midst of the garden. In Habakkuk, he said that I will see what he will say unto me and what I'll answer. So events are taking place all over the place. Now, if you read a narrative that opens with the empire conducting census in the book of Luke chapter 1. If you read the narrative, just go, you read Matthew chapter 2, read Luke chapter 1, and a couple of other verses that I'm going to give. You realize that there was census that was being conducted. They were counting people, checking the numbers. How many people do we have? How many human beings do we have here? Who are the aliens? Who are these? Who are these people? Where are they coming from? And then levying of special taxes upon the colonies. You realize that the empire, the Roman Empire at the same time too, was increasing, was levying taxes upon all the regions that they have colonized. That has become their colony. You can see it was an exercise intended not just to raise revenue from the province, but as a way for Rome to conduct political surveillance of a potential dissident colony. You know what is happening? Rome was checking. It's not just about levying of taxes and getting revenue and counting human beings, but Rome wants to check, would there be any of our colony that will be? Because if you immediately you say, we are not going to pay the taxes, what it means is that you want to become opposed to the empire. So Rome, if it, a lot of political things were taking place. Look at Syria. Look at across the border Syria. What's the name? Turkey. Nations, relationship between nations are getting strained. It was the time the king was introduced. Massive darkness over the nations of the earth. The money is not enough. The government also have increased more taxes. So the money is less in our pockets. Is that not the case in Ghana? And is that not the reason why somebody says, I would bring the taxes down? So let's understand Bible in a new context. Now in Matthew chapter 2 again, let's go and start from verse 1 to 6. In Matthew chapter 2 again. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east, or Magi from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? You see? Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Listen to what they are saying. This statement sounds like a picture in the Old Testament. And we will see that also shortly. We have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod king, when Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled. How should Herod be troubled? Why should he be troubled? And the Bible says, and all Jerusalem with him. The king is troubled, and then the whole Jerusalem also got into agitated. It's called transference of spirit. I am angry, then all of you are angry. I am happy, all of you are happy. Everybody in Jerusalem became wild. Who is this king? Nobody can be king other than Herod. We must finish this king. Even without the murderous intent of Herod, the people would have wanted to finish him. So, and with all Jerusalem with him, and when he had gathered all the chief priests, listen to what he's saying. When Herod had, what is the relationship between the chief priest and Herod? What's the relationship? Osiete, how can I just say, Osiete, come here, then Osiete will come? Well, I mean, you cannot just call me, I'm in my own right. You must send me an invite. But he gathered all the chief priests at once by force. And scribes of the people. He inquired of them, where is Christ who was born king? Did they say, where is Jesus who was born king? And how old was this one when he's been described as Christ? No, I want you to hear something. I said earlier that I heard a song, and the song said, the little boy Jesus Christ. And I said, that is wrong. He's not a little boy Jesus. He is Christ. Christ is not little. He is Christ. The full extent of his power and his entrance into the earth started causing agitation in the whole of Jerusalem. It caused agitation as far as the east. In the desert or in the farmlands, even shepherds begin to react to it, because a host of heaven was moving at the same time. So he inquired, where is the Christ who was born, or who was to be born? The Bible says. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And interestingly, our theme for next year and looking beyond is even kingdom rulership, which we'll talk about when we come to 31st night. Now, let's begin to look at the events. One, we talked about one of the events already. Another event we are seeing here is that the birth of Christ was clearly marked, was clearly a mark of a clash of kingdoms. The birth of Christ was clearly an entrance of a clash of kingdoms. Christ was here, and Herod was here, and Herod is not comfortable. So if I'm having rice on my table this morning, or this afternoon, this evening, and then some bottles of drinks, and for some wayward ones, we'll have some beer, we'll have some wild liquor, and want to enjoy myself, I need to come into an understanding that I am living in a time where kingdoms are clashing, where kingdoms are being opposed, where the kingdom of our Christ is beginning to force kingdoms to begin to react in a manner. It's either they are submitting to him, or he will break them into pieces. In their attitude and in their effort to want to spoil this Christ and want to kill Christianity and wants to kill the truth of Christ, in the effort of all the satanic powers, you can look at Herod as a satanic force, and actually he is described by Jesus Christ, I think in Luke chapter 13, as the fox. And a fox is a destructive creature, and a fox signifies Satan, the devil. A fox signifies a demonic spirit. So you can begin to look at the satanic realm, the natural realm, and the reactions that are taking place, and the things that are coming together to make sure your Christianity stand, or to make sure you are deleted from the picture. So as we celebrate this moment, and we have drinks and food, and we are rejoicing, there must be a consciousness that is a season of the entrance of the actual king into the earth, and kingdoms are clashing. So the Bible said in the verse 2, it says, the Magi's came and they asked, where is he who is born king of the Jews? He is born king. He is not born little king. He is born king. He is born king. Now in the book of let me read Isaiah, the favorite Isaiah scripture. Just help me read that. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, the verse 6 and 7. The verses 6 and 7, Isaiah chapter 9. Then I will take Psalm 2, and then we progress further. You see Christmas? You see how the Christmas is looking like? People are celebrating. If you go to some churches this morning, they will sing Christmas songs from beginning to the end. And then they will pray and go home. It's good. It makes you feel good. It makes you remember when you were a little baby, how the Christmas looks like. But we must walk in a valid understanding of what Christmas is. So the question is, why are you here? Not why are you in church this morning. Why are you here on the earth? A king is born. And I'm singing Christmas carols only. A king is born. And when he is born king, when I became born again, the king is born in me. And the king that is born in me, he's born king. He's not born little, born again, little Christ. There's no little Christ. Now, not long before you see, they'll draw him and then they'll do a cartoon and make him little Christ. He's a full-grown stature. The Bible says that to the stature of the Son of Man. Full. Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9.
Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born.
Unto us a child is born.
And unto us a son is given.
Unto us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
Counselor.
Counselor.
The Mighty God.
The Mighty God.
The Everlasting Father.
The Everlasting Father.
The Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. He is the one who sits on top of prince. Who sits on top of peace. He holds peace. When you go to, you can take little peace and go. You're fine. Continue.
And of the increase of his government and peace.
And of the increase of his government and peace.
There shall be no
end. There shall be no end.
Upon the throne of David.
Upon the throne of David.
And upon his kingdom.
And upon his kingdom.
To order it.
To order it.
And to establish
and to establish it
with judgment,
and
with justice,
From henceforth, from the day he is born. This scripture had its fulfillment just from the day Christ was born. So all of the if you start again, let's start reading. Christ is born. So Christ is born, an event is happening. Start reading it again and hear it.
Unto us a child is born.
Is born.
And unto us a son is given.
Now he is given. He is a boy, male son, given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
His government is already established. His chief concern, his passion, is to bring in the essence of God's government into the earth. Okay, continue.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
Counselor.
Counselor.
A mighty God. The Everlasting Father.
So it means that with his appearing, these events are already taking place. Why would angels come down and say, shepherds, have you heard? Have you heard that the scripture is being fulfilled? The king is in. And the wonderful things are in momentum. There are wonderful things happening in the realm of the spirit. And a bottle of alcohol. The wonderful things happening right now. If we are remembering of his birth, wonderful things, meaning that the wondrous works of God, wondrous mighty miracles, He said, hey, me, I don't have family, I'll die. This is the time you have family, because he's born into a family. He wasn't born and thrown somewhere. No, they found him and said, no father, no mother. He was born into family. This is the time that people can be pulled from whatever that is killing them, destroying them in their hearts, back into the kingdom.
The mighty God.
He is a mighty God.
Everlasting Father.
Everlasting Father.
The Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government.
Now from that moment, his government is going to start moving.
And peace.
And peace.
There shall be no end.
There shall be no end.
Upon the throne of David.
Upon the throne of David.
And upon his kingdom.
And upon his kingdom.
To order it. And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever.
Even forever. Now, this word is fulfilled, or these verses started fulfillment when Christ was born. Now, if you go into Psalm 2, we are going to see Herod's plan and intents come into play. So, in Psalm 2, it says, why do the nations rage? So, as we speak, it was not only Herod that was agitated, but the whole Jerusalem. Why do the nations rage? And the people plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's break their bond in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4, he who sits in heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Verse 5, then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Verse 6, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Yet he has set his king in his holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Where was he begotten? Are you following me? When was he begotten? He said, I will decree the decree of the Lord. He has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance and the ends of the earth as a possession. So immediately Jesus was born, do you know what Jesus was demanding? Give me Jerusalem. Because give me Jerusalem. Give me Ghana. Give me the nations. Give me those people who are walking by the, living by the power of the bottle of alcohol. Give me the people. Give me the children. When he was born, this is what he was asking. Give me America. Give me Haiti. Give me Syria. Give me Iraq. Give me Nigeria. He's beginning to demand the nations. They must come into alignment and submission to me. Now, he goes on to say in the verse 8, it says, ask of me and I'll give you the nation as a possession. Now, the verse 9, he said, you shall, this is a command that the Lord has given him. He said, you shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. He's going to transform it. Basically, you would have looked at this scripture and think of destruction, that Jesus is destroying the earth. No, Jesus is destroying the kingdoms. Yes, he's actually breaking them down, rearranging them, and transforming them so that they can fit into. Because he is sent, and as an apostle, he needs to transform them to fit into the culture he is coming from. So he will dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel, crush them with a rod. The Bible says, now therefore, be wise. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. What is the Bible speaking about here? He's speaking to kings. He's speaking to kingdoms. He's not speaking to a Christmas carol. He is speaking directly to the powers that be. He's speaking to principalities. He's speaking to nations. He's speaking to presidents. This is a time presidents of nations who do not know God must come to know him. Because this is a revelation of kingship, and they understand kingship. And the Bible says that you kings, be wise. You judges, be instructed. Why? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. This is the place Herod should have found himself. But when Herod heard of the one that is the born king of the Jews, the Christ, he felt agitated. He knew he was going to lose his kingdom, and therefore he needed to begin to put in plans and strategies to make sure that the existence of Christ does not succeed. Beloved, we are looking at Christmas. It's a new season for us, a new season of understanding. We can't celebrate Christmas with the understanding that we just have to receive gift and share gift. We have to celebrate Christmas with understanding of total submission to the King. In fact, first of all, we have to celebrate Christmas with understanding that there is a King. We have to come into an awareness of the introduction of the King. We have to embrace a new understanding that a King is truly born. And if he is King, then he must be King over my life. He must be King over my finances. He must be King over my everything. You know, some people, they love their money so much, and they say they are giving their life to Jesus Christ, but their house or their money, they are not giving. You've not given your life because your money is you. To even pay transport to come to church, they will not do. Because they don't understand the kingship of, they think they are a lord to themselves, they are king. You are actually lawless, the Bible says. If you are law-abiding, it means that there is somebody above you who has law and you are submitted to. If you are lawless, it means that you are without a law, but you are a law unto yourself. So their money is not submitted, their life is not submitted, but they think their life is submitted. When this thing happened in the days of Herod, Herod made a big mistake. Please don't sleep on me. Herod made a big mistake. The mistake was Herod aligned himself with the impure church. So the question you ask yourself, is there an impure church in the earth? Yes. Is there a church in the earth that is not walking with Christ? Why is it that when the born king of the Jews, you, the high priest and the chief priest and the scribe, you didn't run and you were not there? Why is it that you didn't go there? Why are you still having your program when Jesus is here? Why not take your program to where Jesus is? Why did you go to the chief's palace? Wrong alignment. The church itself is impure, and the church has wrongly aligned itself, and then the king of the day has also wrongly aligned himself. So what we are seeing is that Herod's first action was to gather the leaders of the church and ask them for the location of the birth of Christ. And Matthew records that they provided this without reservation. Where is it? He is here and that and that and that. I mean, they should have thought one moment. This was a large faction of people in Israel. It consisted of the chief priests, whom you can describe as the national religious leaders. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going somewhere. National religious leaders. We are the men of God that are watching over this city. You are smiling because something is popping up in your mind. National religious leaders. We will fast together, President May. We will align ourselves and align our music. He said, you are called of God. Why are you aligning your music politically? Making decrees that is going to affect the masses without thinking of your church members. So we can call them the national religious leaders. We can call them the doctors of the law, the scribes. We can call them the local leaders who judge and rule in every day of life, everyday life. And the people, the wider group of believers, Bible says, all Jerusalem got stirred up and angry. The majority of the demographic of Israel at the time, if you look at the population of Israel at the time, they put their trust in political solution. I don't know if somebody is hearing me. We just finished election. The majority of the believers of the time, they put their trust in political solutions. and align yourself with carnal power. So today, a lot of the young people, they have to get into politics because when you said that is where the prominence and that is where power is. Carnal power. Carnal power. The chief priest is rushing to. Now, Herod's summoning of the group, calling these people together, and their swift and favorable response implies that there was a relationship already. Now, I'm not saying this, and let's say some years, and definitely it happened. Let's say some presidents begin to locate us and relate to us. We need to be able to conduct ourselves in a manner that does not dent the work of God. We need to be able to tell the president, say, President, you are not winning. President, you are not called to be president. Leave. Find something. We need to be able to bring the word of God. If these chief priests have gone to the Herod and say, Herod, no. What are you looking for the king of the Jews, the Christ for? Herod, focus on something. Build your cities. Leave him alone. Because even the chief priests of the day did not understand the context of the kingship of Christ. So Herod was thinking that Christ was coming as a political leader, and the Jews were also thinking that he is coming as a political leader who will come and lead them and go to war and get back their cities and their nation back from the Romans and Herod and the rest. Wrong understanding. So it means that there was a relationship, and this wasn't the first time. So it probably means that this wasn't the first time these two people have spoken. No, was attacked the only agenda they had agreed upon. You know, the first time they're going to attack Christ was not the first. They've agreed on several things. They'll go to the chief priest and say, chief priest, we've heard that there are some people who have been planning coup, and this name and that name have been given to us. Where can we find them? And they said, they are here. They are, because they know everybody's family. And they know the people that are made of the family. They give up the believers easily. And they will rather align to political power because of the little they go chop. And then they will say, yes, we prophesy, and that is a proof and a validation of my calling as a prophet. Is this very clear? So how is it that they lack discernment? Why did they lack discernment? That Herod was part of a satanic conspiracy to kill Christ. How is it that the pastors of today cannot discern that that political person I am aligning myself to is a conspiracy from hell to destroy the ability of me walking in the power of Christ? Why? Why? I know of a prophet. He was on radio when our current president, called him. He finished talking on radio and the president called him. And he said, you, I am seeing you sitting on a very great throne. And I see people trying to push the throne and throw you out of the throne. So if I am not making a mistake, you'll be a very great leader. Either you'll be a leader of your family or you'll be leading a very great company. Like that. So when he was about to ask, what is your name and what work do you do? Then the person dropped the call. Few days he was there. Secret service was sent to go and bring him. He just finished church service and they came. Seeing all kinds of military looking. You see, the car even looks military. When you see the car, you look at the lights, you know that this car is a security car. He's speaking. He said, we should bring you. Really? Have I done this? He said, no. He said, we should bring you. When he went, he didn't know who he was going to be. When he entered into the place, that was the man sitting there. He was surprised. Wow. So I said, you are a young man. You are a small boy. You're a young man. And the things that you say, I called you because you prophesied to me before. Me? Where? I said, that day you were on radio. I said, what are the prophecies? So it is you. It is you I prophesied to. He said, yes. I'm telling you, Ghana here. Ever since he went to visit the camp, he said, all of you, when you are in church, don't be talking against any president. Asasa. That is the point I want to make to you. Why is it that they lack discernment? We saw preachers in Ghana who were saying all kinds of things on radio and TV and pulling upon the power of God to validate their position with total lack of alignment and ministerial ethics. Ethics even in the prophetic. How come? Did they not know that there's a satanic strategy going on? I need to finish up. It is interesting to consider some of the reasons these religious leaders found themselves in such an odd alignment, such an odd relationship with political agenda that was intended to assassinate and remove Christ from the system. So you are sitting here. There are several things that you have to begin to discern. It means that a point you should take powerful note of is that this season of Christ's birth must be a season of full discernment. I like the word. Full discernment. Complete discernment. If you're there, so come and visit me in my house. I'm not coming. Not come. I'm not coming to visit you in your house for. I'm not talking about church members. I'm talking about satanic strategy. Come and visit me. Visit me. I said, I'm not coming. But I remember those days I was not married. I was preparing to speak at 31st night. By the grace of God and to the glory of God, I was the first person in my former church that my pastor allowed me 31st night. I'll hold microphone and teach and bring the church into new year. Small boy. I'm telling you, I think preached twice. One of the messages I preached was the prophetic generation. And I was preparing to go and teach on that 31st night. And God opened my eyes that there is a lady who will come and visit you on the 1st. And it will be, if you are not careful, things will be wonderful with you and you will finish. I said, I told my pastor after preaching, I said, Pastor, I want to go and sleep in your house. I want the room we've been sleeping in the house today too, I want to go and sleep there. Because God told me that there is a woman who will come and finish me. So I hid and my phone was off. When I slept and it was around 12 o'clock, I woke up, took my bath, changed my clothes, and then a family invited me. I knew that place was safe. And I passed there and I went to enjoy some pieces of gold. Because I have given them a prophecy in church that 31st night, which they didn't know that the thing existed in the family. And when I prophesied the thing and they got home that day, the girl started confessing. It was that night I was ministering when I saw a hand upon a certain small girl. So I quickly walked in there and said, but whose daughter is this? Who brought this girl? There is a hand upon this girl and this hand is controlling this girl. I want to talk to her. And then they lifted their hands. When they got home, the girl started confessing. Your mother, hey, young women, your mother is the one who sent me into your house. She sent me to come and finish you. Do this, do that. So we were the ones who killed this one. We did this, we did that, we did that. Please come and eat something in the house. That place was safe. When I finished, the day was almost gone. I went home. I was safe. We must walk in full discernment. We must not walk into the trap of the enemy. You just walk. Then you land in the trap of the enemy. And say, I don't know. Like the girl, I asked, so how many times have you been doing this thing with this boy? He got pregnant. Is it the first time? She said, no. I said, I'm going to check. When I come back, I'll see you. It means that she didn't have full discernment. She didn't see a satanic conspiracy on its way to deprive her of a certain glory. She didn't see it. Full discernment, right? So how come they were in this? One, when Herod asked for answers from the Bible, did they think they were influencing him towards a personal salvation by conducting Bible study with him in the palace? Oh, the prophet said, it is in Bethlehem, it is in Bethlehem of Judea. Did they think they were doing Bible study? When a parliamentarian invites you to his house,
Do you think it's because of Bible study? Or you think there is a divine purpose to be imparted? Will you stay on top of the matter and influence that parliamentarian or that political leader, let's say political leader, that king, that traditional ruler, that man, that woman, who is loaded with satanic assassination to the intent of removing Christ from your walk and introducing a philosophy where you can still hold your Bible, go to church, yet you don't believe? A friend of mine in his office, his boss, good, prophet too, his boss is always talking about occult grandmasters. And this occult grandmaster, and this one, and that one, and that one, and you, I heard that you were the one who prayed your first boss out of the office. I've heard that. So, Nisu, and also Abantino, and also fortified them. You are joking with your life. You will sit in your chair and you can't get up again. We will come and help you out. And he's talking about, and then he asks, he said, which church do you attend? And then he mentioned a certain church in East Legon. I said, oh, really? So people have to have full discernment. Do they think they were doing Bible study with Herod so that they influenced him to become safe? We need full discernment. Full discernment. Did they possess religious pride? Have I skipped something? Religious pride, which made them jump at the chance to be on the president's board of spiritual advisors. I need people to be advising me spiritually. President, if you need me, come to me. The magis came. Psalm 2 says that kings kiss their son lest he be angry. Submit to him. You judges, be instructed. Come down from your horses. It's a season in which kings, people of great affluence, people who have money, and would think their money happened, their security, will have to come back and submit it and see the power of God. Sicknesses, diseases being blown away. Life being transformed and they're totally aligned. Today, people walk into church because of their money. They want to influence the way you preach. Pastor, the way you preach, I don't like it. You, what can you say? Because the jacket you are wearing is wrong. The shoe, the belt, the socks. I can't give up. He bought it for you. So you heard that man who has been shouting in church. When the pastor is a pastor, preach. Pastor, preach. Pastor, continue. Pastor, you are preaching. And a rich man look at you and say, you cry, you don't have shoe. Maybe it's because of this shoe you have been shouting.
Close from church, I'll see you.
Got him nice shoe. The next Sunday, hey, the man was sitting there. The thing was working in him. Look at the shoes. Said this shoe cry. The rich man to his city. Whether shoe or no shoe, pastor, preach. I mean, people come to church and they just think they'll use their money to influence the preacher. Look, it's happening. A lot of pastors are in bondage. Beloved, I don't want us to be a church that is in bondage. Let nobody walk into our assembly because of the opportunities and the affluence he has begin to influence your life out of Christ. Stand as the enemy is coming. Continue to stand because he will prove himself. A lot of pastors today cannot preach the truth. I heard of a man of God, great man of God in this country. Big church. Name all over the world. I want to say something. The man boasted, and it was all over the news. Had a meeting with somebody who has connection. And he said, one rich man, told him. I said, look, after he did that nonsense, I called him. And I said, you, the shirts you wear, do you buy them? It's not me who buy them for you. Even the perfume. Then he took this pastor I was talking to a chamber in his house. He opened the wardrobe. Said, pick anything you want to pick. Perfume. Pick any perfume. By the way, let me tell you that even the perfume I give to him and those things, I buy them when the things are on discount. So you are wearing discounted things and you are shouting. I tell you, I make sure, no?
Saturday, yes, Christ, no man, no crash away, and what kind of nonsense?
You are in bondage. It's a season of full discernment of who the Christ is and aligning yourself.
And he said, hey, prophet, we want you to be part of the president's prayer warriors.
Am I part of president prayer? Pray for president.
President, you want solution? Come. I talk to you, advise you. It's called insight services. I give you insight service. I remember having a vision in which the last president before, Kufuor, was in a press conference and he was addressing issues. And then I got up and I raised my hands. I said, President, that economic problem that we are having is because of this and that and that. And if we want us to come out, you do this, you do that, you do that. I provide inside services with prophetic grace. That is church. Not going to expose who Christ is.
And then we are taken unaware. So was there, can we ask, was there a misunderstanding of what the scriptures couched within the whole nationalistic framework? Did they have only two bad choices? Either they, you see, at the time, Rome was superpower. Herod was also there. So it seems these two people, they don't know where they need to go. Should they go to Rome or should they align to?
Did they not read that the whole thing was set in the prophecies of Jeremiah that there was a cry in the land and that there was going to be a slaughter? It means that they had no discernment.
Our pastors need help. So some of the things we see, I'm just going to summarize and then end. Some of the things we see, there's so much. If I want to continue, we'll do another 1 hour. Some of the things we see, okay? You can clearly see that there was a covenant between religion and the state, and which is the wrong place to be. Religion, or in this case, let's say, church, is different from the state. Church is not a state. The state runs on a different technology. So you realize that after he asks this question of the chief priests and the scribes and the people, Herod went into trying to know intelligence, information gathering, so that he can actualize his clandestine plan. In the verse 7, it says, then Herod called the Magi secretly. Does not sound like secret service. Secretly, and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He's trying to do calculations. What time did the star appear? So if we know the time, we'll be able to know the exact baby. He went into something we could describe as political manipulation. He, Herod, sent them to Bethlehem. He sent the Magi to Bethlehem. So you see, politicians, politicians can feign piety. They can pretend to be holy. They can pretend to be pursuing the same agenda. When there is voting time, they will rush to church to make sure they get some power to help them influence their cause. I saw one crazy one on Facebook and I'm like, what nonsense is this? Carried a sword and said, me, if I'm a prophet, this woman who have to win the election, give the sword to the woman, raise it 7 times. Victory, victory, madness in high places.
If it's at the time of election, you see a lot of them going to church. Me, I should give you my puppet to come and stand and do your political campaign. Church? For what? Sit down. Go do your political campaign on the platform. This is called church. So I'm neither NPP, NDC, PPP. What? No. I am Christ. Not allow you to come. See, a lot of pastors are lying flat. A lot of churches are flattened today. I'm not saying that
you should not pursue political agenda. If you become a parliamentarian, you are among us. He's a parliamentarian. No, he's standing for, simple as that. But you give the puppet to the people. They come and announce all kinds of madness. Look, there's a politician I know. Secret is that before he won, is it the last two elections? Let me not say it. They went to collect some powder somewhere, and they went to pour it somewhere. Everybody who drink the water will vote for me in that city. Not far away. In this country. Then I give you my puppet. I deserve, I say, where is the powder you collected? Polly, can you give me the powder? It's all PP. Give me the powder, Mr. Politician. Where's the powder? I pour among the politician. Should I expose you? Will you repent? Should I destroy that thing so that the cause of God will take place? Whether you win or not, will you continue to come to church? Will you submit to Christ? God give us eyes. We need eyes. This is the time we need to be clear. God, open my eyes. So I've been fasting. I mean, I don't know chicken, no. I've been fasting. God, what am I fasting? I want to go deeper. Luke 5:4. Jesus says, launch deeper. After the angel measured, chapter 40, 41, 42, 43, Ezekiel 47, the water began to break out under the temple. He got into it. The angel measured and it was ankle. Bah, 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 bah. The guy is gone deep. I want to go deep. God, these eyes, I don't see the way the eyes are. The God, is it, am I losing the prophetic? God, give me more. That is the thing I'm into. Today, people, we play ampe in church. Play plenty ampe, then when they finish, they close. Political manipulation, they feign holiness. We need that. They have all kinds of agenda. There are two separate and distinct entities. And the church must separate and distinguish itself as the agent of God, not as a political party. Hey, Mahama will win. So we pastors in this fraternity, we gather, we pray for Mahama. You see what they did in America to Donald Trump? They gather together and lay hand on Donald Trump. Donald must win. If Donald must not win, you see what is happening to some of the chiefs? If Mahama does not, all kinds of foolishness, lack of discernment. Politics is politics. Did you hear some of the guys who went on radio and spoke anyhow? And then after everything turned anyhow, they came back and said, ask for that thing we said is a political talk. So if I allow you to come and say such things, you fool us all. We must understand something. Herod, I'm coming to an end. Herod did something we can call disinformation. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. After he allowed the magis to go, he also said, go make careful search of the child. He didn't tell them that he has a plan for the child. Now, the next thing we see is that there's genocide. There's a killing. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi. What it means is that the Magi, if he did not tell, did not even tell him, he said, what time did you see the star? So they started calculating. If the Magi should have told him that, the star we saw it yesterday, and we journeyed yesterday and came. But as he told himself, look, when we saw the star showed that this baby is either 1.5 years to 2 years old. So Herod got confused. So he carried 2 years, all 2 years old, down. Genocide. So look at it. Herod used the power of his security forces, army and police, and conducted what is called state-sponsored genocide. something predicted by Jeremiah about 700 years before the event was happening. If you read Jeremiah 31 verse 15, the Bible clearly tells us of what was going to happen. When the prophet looked into the spirit realm, he heard the sound of Rahel weeping and lamenting for her children, but unable to be comforted because they were no more. But let's see God's way, and then we end on this. Let's see God's way. What is God's way in this matter? We must be able to discern what is actionable intelligence that bypasses all kinds of state surveillance. We must be able to discern the mind of God and how we need to live within this political context. So it means that I must have MPP, NDC, PPP, PNC, people sitting in church. I must be able to live with these people and not get dented or make my clothes dirty or defile the Christ in this environment. So, the Bible says in the verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, that's a Magi, they returned to their country by another route. The Lord gave the wise men clear intelligence regarding Herod's motivation. So, can we have clear intelligence from heaven? Beloved, don't get tired in your mind. Oftentimes, you go into teaching services, after 1 hour, people are tired in your mind. Don't get tired in your mind. I want you to begin to live by heaven's intelligence than living by my grandfather told me. Than living by what you see on TV. If you want to watch TV and live by it, you'll be very confused. If you want to watch TV and hear the things, the fires that are burning, you'll be very confused. You start blaming Muhammad that because he's going, he has started burning the places. Or you say that these MPP people, their juju is causing the burning. But we need to enter into spiritual surveillance and understand from God's mind what is happening in our environment. Now, let me move on. So you realize that even the Christ himself became a political refugee in his own land. Now, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. I love that. An angel appeared to him in a dream. Meaning there are angels always in your dream, but they have not just appeared. That's why you're not seeing it. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. God warned Joseph in a dream of the intended assassination attempt of the boy, and told Joseph to flee with his family and reside under the jurisdiction of a foreign government where there were no warrants for his arrest and probably treaties to extradite him back to his country. Jesus lived in Egypt as a ruler in exile while waiting for existing administration to perish. Fulfilling the prophecy, out of Egypt I called my son, Hosea 11:1. So you see Jesus and the mother and Joseph evading the security system of the entire apparatus that existed. Okay. Then they re-entered. And this is the way I want to conclude. Many today want a big church. Many today want big cars. Like Pastor Tony puts it, God, bless me now so that I can help you. All kinds of things are happening around us. But I want to talk at this end about partnership with God. Partnership with God. When we look at the comparison between Herod and the believer partnering with God and bringing forth his purposes in the earth, do we understand that Jesus was the purpose of God to be revealed?
Do we understand that Jesus Christ is the purpose of God to be revealed through you? Do we understand that our functionality to touch business, to touch family, to touch every aspect of society, it's purpose of God intended for us, for Christ to be fully revealed through us and touch these systems? So how do we partner with God for these purposes to manifest? Mary was quite young. He said, me, I will not attend any church that I'm older than a pastor. Mary was quite young. And her family, very poor. Who are the people God is using? No job. Poor. Young. Perhaps you'd have think they are confused. But they are the ones leading the powerful church in the earth. How? They have Jesus Christ in their church. He's there. In fact, they gave birth to him and they even started a church in the manger. So the monkeys came. The shepherds were dancing in there. Look, there's a whole lot that's happening around you may not know. As we sit here and we keep exalting the Christ, our Lord Jesus, the living Lord Jesus, there are many people in the islands and in the nations who are rejoicing because God has spoken to them. I remember when I started this, somebody told me, said that, look, I had a dream about you. Another person said, I don't know whether I was having a dream, but I was just lying down. It wasn't a dream, but I could see that the whole thing became a church. Another said that, and he gathered people and he was giving them motivational speeches. There's rejoicing going on because Mary, Joseph, as young as they are in their poor state, having Christ in their company. Do you have Christ in your home? Do you have Christ in your business? Political leader, do you have Christ there? I'm not going to stop any of you. If you want to become a parliamentarian and you are connected in a party and you start, move. Because you are going to go into a place of influence of government and to be able to influence a larger society. I remember attending an interview and they asked me, why do you want to leave finance to come and do development work? I said, well, I've always wanted to influence several people, and on an ongoing basis, on a weekly basis, I am talking to a faith-based organization. We did not talk about church. Wise past God. Wise past God now. I said, I'm always talking to a faith-based organization, and I deal with all manner of topics and teams. So, having the opportunity to work, I was being interviewed for a position which would coordinate, which would be the unit to coordinate all these social interventions in the country. So, having the opportunity, I know I'm going to touch the whole nation. They look at me and say, the guy is very good, but his finance background is too strong. So, what if Bank of Ghana invites you tomorrow to come and get a different, won't you leave us and go? I said, no. I said, if you look into my CV, I'm just talking to maybe Abraham or somebody who is going to be a politician very soon. And for that matter, Christ kind of politician. Not the chief priest and the scribe. I'll show you a scripture right now, then we end. I said, if you look into my CV, you see two qualifications there. I have something in ministerial leadership and development studies. And you see the finance aspect. So he said, in the next 5 years from now, where are you going to be? I said, I want to consolidate these two things. More development, more leadership, more ministerial things and finance. So they said, the guy now. Now, the panelists, 5 against 1. They are confused. One says, no, we should not take him. The 5 says, we should take him. So I'm not going to stop any of you to go into nations and building where you should have even initiative, ethical initiatives that are saving people from the streets and getting some sponsorship and getting some funding, grants from elsewhere to push your agenda. Mary was poor. Even if you are rich and you are sitting here, you must be poor in spirit. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke,
that when Jesus was born, the rich he sent, I think verse 51, the rich he sent empty, but the poor he sent home well nourished and fed. But you see, she evidenced faith and maturity when the angel spoke to her. The highest of all level of angelic messenger, Gabriel, came to her. And Joseph, now, so let me stop there. And Joseph also had his aspect. But maturity in your state is key. Now, secondly, Joseph exercised something we can call death to self. Death to self. He didn't love himself more than the word of God. One, the woman that is pregnant, the thing that is in her is of the Holy Spirit. So take her back to yourself. Joseph has said, you angel, what are you talking about? How can human beings get pregnant by spirit?
Angel, what are you saying? Can you explain further?
Angel, I don't live in your world. It is called reasoning, quantitative verbal reasoning. So we get a prophetic word. Say, this prophetic word is not long enough. It's too short. It will not come to pass. You see what is happening? We must be a people who are dead to ourselves. I say, oh God, I don't have enough money. How would this thing work? Abraham, do you have enough money? You don't have enough. You don't have money. But it's going to work. I say, I don't have money. How can I travel? You will travel. After I married, a friend of mine asked me. He said, when he was preparing to get married, those of you who are planning to get married, plan it. He said, hey, Max, how did people do it before you got married? And I laughed. I said, it's the hand of God. If you think it's your pocket, you'll never marry. You'll never, never marry. So Joseph practiced something we can talk about as dead to self. He put aside his own opinion and concept of honor when God told him to take Mary as a wife because her pregnancy was supernatural in origin. Everyone could see a brighter star in the sky. Are you hearing this? We are going into discerning things prophetically. Everyone could see a star in the sky, very bright, by foreigners. The Magi had insight into what a sign in heaven meant. Everybody is pouring drink. In fact, even me, I bought some. People are giving gifts. I've not received some yet, but I've given. Everybody knows Christ is born. Christmas carol is going on. But who is he will understand that these songs that are being sung has a certain implication for... Daniel is laughing. Who is he? Who is that one? You see what is going on in our society? So the whole church is flattened. We want to be an intelligent church. Not when they hit our head, then it goes boom, there's nothing in it. It echoes.
You're very intelligent spiritually.
Everyone could see the bright star in the sky. The foreigners, Maggie, understood what it meant. Even the working class shepherd, this is who they have small job. Like the Celestines, they can understand that Jesus, the king, has been introduced by the president, the politician, the who, and the who, and the who's. They don't know. They don't know how to come and submit to this Christ. So you see yourself and you look at them driving their cars on the street and you look at them and say, me. There's no honor. There's no honor about me. Your Christ was born in a manger. It does not mean you must not be rich and affluent. But it makes you sober, even if you are rich. Humbles you and quiets your noisy mind that is tied to your money. That is why, me, you cannot come and manipulate with your money. There's a woman who came here. I prophesied to her. I said, 21 days fasting. She went fasting. She finished the fast. She came here. She was sitting where Celestine was sitting. I was facing her with the cousins. Then the phone started ringing. The phone rang several times. The customers who stopped calling her, they started calling from Nigeria and all the places. And she wants to make me a prisoner, a spiritual prisoner of prayer, a warrior for her. I should come to a shop and go, and I went to pray with her. Then you give me, is it 100 or 50 to pick transport and go home? God bless you. So you want me to be coming every time and come in? I will not come. I will not. I'm not hungry. I will not come. So there was a woman. She, up to now, she calls me father. She called me papa. She's older than me. I think I miss her. Today I'll call her. You've not seen her here before. Some mommy, the lady who came with Prophet Tutu, was the one who introduced her. When she mentioned her, when she mentioned me to her, she took my number, she called me, said, I want to find you. I know when I find you, something will happen in my life. When she came and she was leaving, I rather gave her money. In fact, I picked a dropping for her and paid a dropping. She was like, what? You are this humble, you are this? No. I don't want to go and be chasing somebody's money. If you give me, I design, I'll collect. If you give me and I collect, I look at it, I'll give it out. You cannot own me. Even the shepherds who are doing, selling at Tulaku, may discern the Christ more than the big ones. Very important where we stand. So it means that the dullest of people who were in Israel at the time were the religious leaders. Pastor, you're insulting them. No. The dullest of people, the men of God. Who is blind but my servant? Who is in covenant with me? That's what the Bible says. Isaiah 43 verse 18. Who is blind but my servant? Who is in covenant with me? Like as Zachariah the priest, who was plainly spoken to from heaven, but being so hard of heart, he was struck dumb for 9 months while John grew in Elizabeth's womb. He saw Zachariah, God spoke to him, he never believed. Please enter into the place of belief. Now let's conclude this way with a statement I wrote. And the statement is that as many fireworks will fill the atmosphere even this night, and even the days coming into the new year, the New Year's Eve and all of that, we want to have a Christmas and a new year of fireworks of our minds and spirits through the igniting unquenchable flames of the Holy Spirit in our understanding and a new evolving passion in Christ. You want to write it? Okay. Jane, I'm saying that as many fireworks will fill the atmosphere. I'm concluding on that. That's my last statement. I wish I can ask you, what did you hear? As many fireworks will fill the atmosphere. We want to have a Christmas and a new year of fireworks of our minds and spirits. You know fireworks? 31st, I'll bring one. Tomorrow I'll go and buy more. I have one in the house. Hey! Only fireworks. That one, if you hear it, when the thing sounded, go, I said, yeah. War is not good at all. So that one, maybe that one you hear is not as powerful. This one I'm doing, the thing is like this big old. What? Hey, the whole area went quiet. You'd have thought that there is a war going on. I say, yeah. Those people that they are throwing bombs in their country, look.
Abner, yes, I want to ask something when we were teaching. Uh-huh. The date for Christmas, where did you get it from?
Uh-huh, okay. So I didn't comment on that. Let me finish this. I'll come to it. I didn't comment on date, but it's not an issue of necessarily date. But if we say Jesus was born in April, I think somebody was also saying that Jesus was born in April. There's an argument like that. So if Jesus is born in April, this message will still be the message. Whether it's, I saw a pastor friend writing, I'll continue what I'm saying here so that you're right. I saw a pastor friend writing on Facebook and say, he doesn't like these Christians also coming to say happy holiday. What is happy about the holiday? It's a holiday. So you, if you like, change your to happy holiday or whatever. If you like, you can start Christmas in July. But this message must stand. There's a lot of belief about it, that there's a pagan worship and then all of that and all of that. But we have seen Jesus born. So if you say Jesus is born, okay, I take my Bible and I want to tell you about Jesus is born. And so it's a pagan festive and they sacrifice to idols and all of that, all those foolishness. They gave Jesus gift. All kinds of things change. People rejoice. So where is my rejoicing? So at this point, if there is spirit of oppression upon your life, shepherds rejoice. And as you've caught this revelation that your king is born, your bondage must just break. Because the Bible says that of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. So if his government, once you realize your king has been born and I am born again and the king is born in me and I've come into kingship, your bondage must just snap. That thing that is holding your mind and belief and fear must break. Straight. You can't stay under servitude anymore. It was a time of liberation for many. It was a time of going down for many. So, those arguments, don't get into it. And don't bother. Okay, fine. Jesus was born on 25th. Jesus was born on 22nd. Okay, so what's the problem? It's not about the day he is born. As a matter of fact, we have not been told anywhere in the Bible to celebrate a day and a date. We've been told to celebrate his person, the revelation of him. That is what we are doing. So it's a celebration of revelation of Christ. So people will celebrate a day and never catch Christ, the dullest of people. Do you know how many churches have put so much money and invested into Christmas celebration in their churches? Do you know how much money they've spent on that? Do you know how some wife is killing the husband for not buying a bottle of Coke? Do you know? I'm a lame. If you are going to belong to this church, belong properly. Yeah? Get inside properly. Just be free. Don't stay on the peripheral. Jump into the river, because if you keep staying on the edge of the river, by the time the current builds up and it erodes all the sides of the wall you are sitting on, you will fall in. Your fall will be very great. We will save you on the other side, but your fall will be very great. Jump into the river. We are all jumping into it. Jump into it. Say, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Jump into the river. It makes glad. These teachings liberate and make people free. Hey, Christmas is coming, so I'll go and borrow so much. Then after Christmas, January, I'm owing. How do I pay my children's school fees? That is why, if you remember last year, I was saying long ago, about 3 months, I said, start buying your Christmas things. Those of you who want to mean Christmas, start buying now. Start buying now. If you want a goat, you start saving for goat. Me, I didn't save for goat. I don't have for goat right now. I didn't put it in a plan. I have watermelon in the house. I'm going to enjoy it. My wife was asking me this, what should we prepare? You have everything that is there. Abobi. You get some abobi where you know the thing. Who knows you ate abobi in the house? A visitor is coming. Come. You come, I take my Bible, Christmas celebration. I don't have now. No, do I have now? Should I steal? No, why are we putting ourselves in bondage?
And I went to Uncle Abraham, he didn't give me any. Abraham doesn't have. He doesn't have. You will you kill him? This thing that you yourself, you are already complaining. They themselves, they are complaining that the thing is on your day. They are the same day himself to come and say that, give me something on this day. You yourself, you said that we shouldn't celebrate the 25th. Knew you the same person to have come to my house. What do you want me to do? You don't want to kill me. No, we need to wake up. So I'm saying that as many fireworks will fill the atmosphere, we want to have a Christmas of fireworks of our mind. So what if you didn't have fireworks? Boom, 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 boom. Does it mean you didn't have Christmas? Go to America and see how people are crying. No milk, nothing. Oh, it's good. We want to be a church that the Christmas that is coming will be able to pick money, buy some things, organize a party, invite people from the streets, come and eat. We pray for them. We distribute ourselves among the people at table. We interact with them. So at each table, you have about 2-3 people from church at each table. And then you have other people from elsewhere. You interact with them whilst you are eating. Good music is going on. You are praying for the sick. You are seeing visions. You are prophesying. You are feeding them. And then you take their contacts. You submit. We continue in prayer. We reach out. Now to just be doing fireworks of the air instead of our minds. So we want to have a Christmas of fireworks of our spirits and our minds through the igniting and quenchable flames of the Holy Spirit. Through the igniting and quenchable flames of the Holy Spirit. In a new understanding and passion in Christ. This is where we are. So we are not here to fill the bucket of our minds. We are here to light the candle of our spirits. As the fireworks go on, the candle of the fireworks of our spirit must be lit. When you go back home, eat your rice, eat your chicken, eat your turkey, your goat, celebrate, sit with family, enjoy, laugh. But in your deepest understanding, what did I hear today in church? What did the angels appear in the land and told me, a farmer? What should be my attitude? An attitude of rejoicing. The king is here. I'm yielding unto him as a king. There's a new day. There's a new day. God bless you. I just want you to rise and just pray in the spirit under this new understanding. I know we've taken time today, but it is necessary to bring in the new Christmas message. Just pray in the spirit. I want you to pray in the spirit for some time. In just a few minutes, we are out of here. Pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit. For thou shalt light my candle. The Lord my God will turn my darkness into light. Pray in the spirit. My candle must be lit.